while in the custody of the police at the Hertfordshire Police Station. You remember that incident, Raskem?
I definitely remember that incident. Yes, yes. But it's sad because, you know, as we sell, as we mark the 17th sad anniversary of 9/11, a lot of us forget that Peter Tosh was also killed on that same day in Jamaica many years ago, Anthony.
Yeah, so that's happening in the world of entertainment.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is your entertainment report with Anthony Turner. It is now time for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check, ladies and gentlemen. And you may be wondering, why are we revisiting crime and violence? Well, this morning, our very special guest will be the 2018 presenter of the annual CIN Lecture Series. And we're taking a page from that book. And the headline reads, Jamaica's Crime Monster, Can It Be Tame? Well, Anthony, you do the introduction of our special guest, and then I have a news piece to play before we go down to Jamaica and bring in Mr. Mark Shields this morning. Go ahead, Anthony, and introduce the guest.
Well, as you said, our special guest on Mic Check this morning is Mark Shields. He's a former deputy commissioner in charge of crime and intelligence for the Jamaica Constabulary Force. And at age 28, Mark headed the police special branch investigating terrorism in London. He has worked with the National Crime Criminal Intelligence Service. And later at Scotland Yard, he commanded investigation teams tackling organized crime in London. He has actually led many high-profile investigations, including an alleged plot to kidnap Victoria Beckham. And in 2003, he headed Scotland Yard's special branch unit in charge of international terrorism. And in 2005, he actually went to Jamaica, where he was appointed deputy commissioner for the Jamaica Constabulary Force. And for 5 years, he was engaged in modernizing the police force, improving the standards of criminal investigation, and developing an intelligence-led approach to police and crime hotspots in Jamaica. And since leaving the JCF in 2009, he has established Shields Crime and Security Consultants in Kingston, a company that provides a range of security management services, crime investigation, and consulting on technology to prevent and detect crime. And he's currently serving as a member of the private sector organization of Jamaica. So we welcome Mr. Mark Shields right here to Groovin' Radio.
Good morning, Mr. Shields. How are you this morning?
Good morning to you and your listeners. Fine, thank you.
Well, it is always good to have you on with us here in New York to share with the diaspora, Mark Shields, on a recent trip to Jamaica. While I was there 3 weeks ago, I was there to witness what some is now calling an horrific crime in the Constitution of Arnett Garden. The murder of a 14-year-old girl and the burning of her body. I was there in Jamaica when the Jamaica Constabulary Force had a new rollout with some new colors. And this past week when school reopened in Jamaica, Frontline News went to the community of Mountain View Avenue. I am about to play a clip from that Frontline News editorial. And ladies and gentlemen, crime and violence is once again center stage in Jamaica. Mark Shields will speak about it when we forward.
The spate of violence over the last few days, beginning on Thursday, has the residents of Mountain View tense. Though localized over the Warwicka Hills and Oliver Road specifically, events there have reportedly affected the entire Mountain View community.
And police are work with them down there too. Because when the police them gone, them go down there, them give them break for go sleep. And when they go sleep and come back, when the police them drive out now this day, 5 o'clock it start. Oliver Road man work with the police them. And the 5 o'clock shot fire them there. Oliver Road man work with them.
And when they shot fire them.
Concerns over safety have prevented children from turning up for the first day of school. This, coupled with the fact that taxi operators are avoiding that route, has made school attendance impossible.
14, we have a four-day-old.
No.
14-day-old baby. And every time the baby hear the jump, they shot them in jump. We have Pitney. She, there was a little baby there. So we have a pregnant lady. Right? We have old people. We want to be where we are going to work with self. Because majority of we is mother and father for our child. You understand? We can't bear it no more. Because we don't see the reason for this. You understand? We don't see the reason from Thursday. No, from Tuesday. Shut a fire up to this morning and stop.
They say despite being called, neither the police nor the JDF showed up to quell the violence between the warring factions and to reassure the residents.
We can't tell lies to see one of them people about you. Some place that it's a gone.
We want the empty here. That's just an empty here.
Then, come make them see that. Release and Philip, where are they? I'm pretty dog and Oliver running out of...
And they registered their disgust with the police when the police finally arrived in the area with our news team. The children are traumatized, many reportedly fallen ill as a result of persistent gunfire lasting an hour in some instances and other times at intervals throughout the night. One resident says love is the only solution to the fighting, but will it be enough? Marion Myrie, Frontline News.
That clip was taken from Frontline News. Mark Shields, my first question. What is known as the monster in Jamaica, crime? Can it be tamed?
That's a good question, which I'll be trying to answer, as you know, at the CIN lecture in a month's time.
Yes.
It is without doubt a massive problem mm-hmm. that many of us who live in Jamaica, in a professional capacity, as civilians have tried to tackle and have tried to find the answers to. Mm-hmm. My firm belief and my optimistic belief is, yes, it can be tamed. And there is no doubt at all that people may consider those words to be hollow mm-hmm. when you play clips such as you have just played. Mm-hmm. But I feel that there is a determination within the country, both from government, from the police, and from the JDF and from many other agencies that support their work on a community level, that we can get on top of this. However, we will have and do have some serious setbacks throughout that process. We have to take every step where things improve, such as the fact that at the moment we have a significant drop in murders as a result of both policing and military tactics in the past 12 months. Mm-hmm. But we have a long way to go. But my belief is, yes, it can be tamed, but it's going to take a massive effort from both security forces and from government in terms of investing not just in the security forces, but actually tackling the underlying causes of crime, mm-hmm. which relate to social inadequacies, lack of education, keeping boys in school beyond the age of 13 to 14, mm-hmm. One-parent families where particularly women are being forced to bring up their children alone because the kids are fatherless. Right. There are many, many, many aspects to this, mm-hmm. all of which I believe that if they're tackled in a coordinated fashion, we can tackle the monster. Mm-hmm. But it is going to take time, and above all, it's going to take consistency of that approach and sustainability to ensure that we get there.
Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest this morning on Grooving Radio is former Deputy Commissioner of Police out of Jamaica. He worked out of Scotland Yard in a special branch unit. His name is Mark Shields, and we are taking on crime and violence once again in Jamaica. Mark, when you hear stuff like children are traumatized, when you hear stuff like children cannot go to school. As I said, I was recently in Jamaica on vacation. Jamaica is a beautiful place. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. And I see how Jamaica has evolved. And I love Jamaica. But when I hear these things, and while I was there watching the news, because this time around, I absorbed a lot of local news. And one of the most horrific news that confronted me was the killing of that 14-year-old girl in Harnett Garden and the burning of her body after killing this girl. I mean, these things are, they're kind of scary. They make you wonder, is the police in Jamaica scared of some of these criminals?
Well, there are two parts to that statement that you've made, which ended with a question. I agree with you, and I share your abhorrence of the death of Yatanya Francis, a 14-year-old girl, a couple of weeks ago in Kingston. She was raped, she was chopped, and eventually her body was burned. And I think we have to look at that and say that, of course, that is an absolutely horrific crime. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to put the boot on the foot of the rest of the world and say, you know what? Horrific crimes like that do happen elsewhere as well. Mm-hmm. Children, young people are raped, both boys and girls, and bodies are burned. And unfortunately, the reason quite often for burning bodies is an attempt by the wicked perpetrators to destroy any evidence that may be there with on the body. Mm-hmm. These things happen, and I don't say that glibly. It is absolutely abhorrent that it should happen. But I do not believe that the police are running scared of crime. I do believe that the investigative capacity of the Jamaica Constabulary Force has improved significantly within the last 12 months. And I can probably give you evidence of that by a number of high-profile investigations that I'm aware of, mm-hmm. where people have been arrested and charged, having seen and witnessed thorough investigations to gather the evidence, to get people before court and get them convicted. So that is going to happen. The police are making a new stance, in my view, under this Commissioner of Police, mm-hmm. Major General Anthony Anderson. I think that his appointment has been a ray of light for Jamaica Constabulary Force. And despite the fact that he's not a JCF officer through and through, of course, I've seen some significant changes, certainly in terms of policing on the streets that I know we'll come to. But that proves to me that the police are not running scared. They're working hard in the ZOSO, the ZOSO zones, and also in the state of emergency zones of Spanish Town and St. James. So there is a lot to be optimistic about despite these absolutely horrific setbacks that, of course, I won't dismiss them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about it glibly, but we have to look at the way forward and how we can overcome these horrific issues that we see from time to time.
You know, and you did mention the fact that certain crimes are down in Jamaica. That was one of the most welcoming thing that I faced when I got to Jamaica recently, Anthony, and watching the news and realizing that, yes, crimes are down in Jamaica. But when I mention these horrific crimes, these are the scary things. When I go to work on a daily basis and I'm confronted by someone who I've never been to Jamaica, and they confront me with a news story, a news clipping coming out of Jamaica, I'm trying to find a way to answer their questions. The questions that they're posing to me, if this is how Jamaica operates, if this is how Jamaica runs. And I'll say to them, no, these things, as Mark just mentioned, yes, they do happen other places. But the mere fact that to us, Jamaica is such a small place, and when it happens and when it hit close to home, it becomes a scary thing and they're scary thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, our very special guest is Mark Shields out of Jamaica, former Deputy Commissioner of Police, and we're taking on the monster that they call crime and violence. You have a question, Anthony?
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to ask Mr. Shields about hanging. Is it still, for these type of heinous crimes, you think that could be a deterrent to some of these criminals?
Capital punishment. Mark?
I don't think so. I think that the life expectancy of a young, unemployed male between the age of 16 and, say, 26 in Jamaica is such that I don't see it as a deterrent. I believe that there is plenty of evidence throughout the world that just bringing in a death penalty does not in itself reduce crime. Mm-hmm. If you look at another aspect of living in Jamaica and you watch particularly young men on motorcycles,
yes,
without crash helmets, driving like absolute lunatics, that's the highest group of fatalities in terms of road crashes in Jamaica. If you look at the way they conduct their lives in terms of not being concerned about risk, that's why I don't think they think about the consequences of being caught and then executed by the state. I think that they think, this is my life, I'll do what I can, I'm prepared to take the risk, or they don't even think about the risk. And so, therefore, I don't really see that as a deterrent. Most people will not commit crime because they don't want to go to prison, and ultimately, maybe in a society with capital punishment, they don't want to suffer those consequences. But I do not think, looking at the evidence around the world, that the implementation of executing convicted murderers is going to work. Even if you look in the United States, it isn't that in those states where capital punishment is there that the murder rate is actually reduced significantly. Mm-hmm. It isn't proven to work. And of course, ultimately, there's always that concern about if you get it wrong, it cannot be reversed. So in other words, even when you think the evidence is there and a person is convicted of murder and then executed and subsequently perhaps through some scientific technology or a new witness coming forward or somebody else admitting the crime, it cannot be reversed. So personally, for all of those reasons, I would be against hanging people in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm. The last time we engaged you, Mr. Shields, one of the top crime taking place in Jamaica was scamming. Scamming, it seems to me now, it has died down a little bit. Do you think with the state of emergency that was put in place in earlier on this year or late last year in Montego Bay, do you think that had anything to do with the way scamming is being conducted now?
Well, the results and the byproduct of scamming was large sums of money. And then we had gangs within St. James, Westmoreland particularly, who were actually protecting the scammers. And there were fallouts between the scammers, which were causing the murders. So effectively, yes, the state of emergency has helped, and effective policing has helped around the byproduct of scamming. But scamming itself, I think it's being solved by the measures that have been put in place in terms of having an anti-lottery scam task force, in terms of the work that MOCA are doing, that's the major organised crime an anti-corruption agency that they're doing. And I think the other measures as well, in terms of working with our partners in the United States through Homeland Security, who are targeting those who are responsible for scamming and making it far more difficult for people to actually move the money from the United States, from where victims have been scammed, and actually getting the money into Jamaica. So I think there are many measures that are actually reducing the instances of scamming. But of course, as we found with drug trafficking in the early 2000s, late 1990s, that when this place was a hub for cocaine trafficking into the United States and elsewhere in the world, through Operation Kingfish, eventually they get on top of it. And then, of course, criminals move on. So we can never really stop working. We just have to look for the next scam or the next ploy in order to make money. So I believe that scamming is reduced, but it hasn't gone away, and it will continue to take a sustained effort both by our partners in the United States working with Jamaica in order to continue that fight.
The JCF now has a new head. Last year at this time, Anthony, we were talking to a retired FBI agent, Mr. Rattigan, who had actually thrown his name in the ring to be the next commissioner of police in Jamaica. It did not work out for Mr. Rattigan. Jamaica hired from within the Prime Minister's office, Major General Anthony Anderson became the new commissioner of police. Earlier on, Mark, you mentioned the fact that since he became commissioner of police, there are some changes that have taken place. Now, there was a time when the JCF would hire someone from the Jamaica Defense Force, and you would hear all kind of rumbling in Jamaica. With this appointment of Major General Anthony Anderson, I don't think I personally heard a lot of grumbling. How is it working for the JCF, Mark Shields?
I think so far the appointment of Major General Anthony Anderson has worked extremely well. He is a very bright, man, a very intelligent man. He's got a plan, he's got a program for taking the Jamaica Constabulary Force forward. I think that there is no doubt at all with his background, both as the head of JDF and then working as the National Security Advisor to the Prime Minister's office. I think all of that held him in good stead for this post. He is a quiet man. He's not one for social media and making lots of comments within media. Mm-hmm. He's basically working hard to get things right. And I think that the proof of that is that we do have a higher visibility of police officers on the streets, despite the fact we have some awful traffic jams here at the moment because of roadworks all over Kingston and St Andrew, which are necessary.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing police on the streets. And you know that I mentioned on my last interview that any commissioner who comes in, the first thing they must do is reintroduce high visibility policing. There must be a policing presence on the streets in order to reduce crime. And we've seen that. And I think it's because of that people are quite happy. The murder rate is down slightly by, I think, double percentage points now.
Mm-hmm.
This presence on the streets gives people some form of comfort and reassurance that something is being done. So the messages so far, I think, from both the media and the public is that they're satisfied with his performance and they're satisfied in the direction that the JCF is moving.
Mm-hmm.
I think I tweeted a couple of weeks ago that perhaps we're at a tipping point because I see more good news stories in the press locally about the JCF than I hear about the horror stories of corruption and fatal shootings that we used to hear week on week some time ago. And I think the balance is tipped slightly and we're seeing very positive stories and we're seeing good photography in terms of what police are doing. So I'm quite comforted and encouraged by that.
Visibility policing, Anthony, 1 second. Visibility policing, it came at a cost recently in Jamaica when the opposition party was offended by the colours that the Commissioner of Police and the Prime Minister chose for the new rollout of the new unit at the JCF. I don't think in 2018 we should be having conversations about colors, green colors. It caused a little bit of stir down there in Jamaica, Mark Shields, when the green bikes and the so-called green vests police officers rolled out. It is said it is working. Some 3,000 plus tickets have been handed out since that new unit went in effect. Is there any more rumbling coming from the opposition about what happened recently in Jamaica with the green colors?
No, my personal view is that this is a storm in a teacup. It's not an argument that we can take seriously. And certainly, I know I would think that the Prime Minister had absolutely nothing to do with choosing the colour. And it isn't actually green. It's not green in the sense that you think about Jamaica Labour Party green.
Uh-huh.
That's completely misleading.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually almost between a yellow and a green, if we have to get into the detail.
Right.
And it's an internationally recognised colour for first responders.
Yes.
And if you Google that colour in terms of high visibility colours for first responders, that's the colour that you'll see internationally.
Yes.
It's in the United Kingdom, it's in Australia, probably in Canada and elsewhere, and of course in the United States. It's a colour that's recognised in the 21st century for first responders. So what we're seeing is that the Jamaica Constabulary Force is being transformed into a first world police service, and that's what we want to happen. So any arguments about colours, frankly, I find it somewhat discouraging, even juvenile. I think we need to focus on the bigger issues.
It was trivial. It was trivial.
Trivial because, is a good word. Thank you.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. Anthony, I know you have a question.
Yeah.
One more question for Mark.
I have another question for you, Mr. Shields. In the COM, some have said they have reduced police effectiveness. In fact, some may have said it increases crime in Jamaica. Can you explain a little about what Indicom is and what are your thoughts about their role in crime and violence in Jamaica?
Well, Indicom is the independent body for the investigation of the police, particularly when there are fatal shootings. In other words, when the police kill a civilian, then it is always investigated by Indicom. It's headed by Terence Williams, who was a former DPP. He's a Jamaican, and the deputy, in fact, is Hamish Campbell, who is a former Scotland Yard detective. Indicom worked throughout the country, and there was, without any doubt at all, huge resistance to Indicom by the Jamaica Constabulary Force. I think that there were perhaps massive misunderstandings between the two organisations, and there has to be, or has been, a cultural change within the JCF in terms of how they see the work of INDICOM. Some would have argued that because INDICOM is there, the police have thrown down their weapons and they're not prepared to do their jobs anymore. I think that that is a poor excuse for good policing. Good policing comes first. And although we can never say that Jamaica is not a dangerous place to police, where there are many illegal firearms, there's only one way to fight crime, and that's the right way, the legal way, and the proportionate way in terms of using force against criminals.
You know,
so I think, yeah, there's been a lot of arguments, but I believe that, again, where is it 5 or 6 years into INDICOM now? I can't remember exactly how long, but I've seen less argument against INDICOM. I think, generally speaking, people are encouraged. And let's face it, in any country in the world that's a first world country with a liberal democracy, such as the United States of America, United Kingdom and Canada, there is an independent body to investigate police misconduct, fatal shootings, etc. So all Jamaica has done is to follow the rest of the world to include an independent body where there is some transparency and some accountability for the police. So any attempt that would be made, in other words, to either reduce the powers of INDICOM or remove them would be an absolutely terrible step back for Jamaica.
And I agree with you, you know, Mark, because one thing I'm going to urge my fellow Jamaicans to understand, that the only thing that stays constant is change. I think Jamaicans find it a little bit too difficult when there are changes. And when we come back after the top of the hour, I want to talk about even the new national identification card that I'm hearing a lot of conversation still taking place in Jamaica about. It's about time that Jamaica move forward into the 21st century and recognize that these things are going to be very necessary if we want to move forward. One question that came in off social media, this person have a concern about Jamaica policing. When they call the police these days, sometimes they don't show up. Don't know if you're going to have a lot of time to elaborate on it in 3 minutes before we take the break, Mark, but your thoughts on that. When the police are called in Jamaica, the response time.
Yeah, I agree with the caller, because I've heard many complaints about that. And quite often you'll find that a private security company with an armed response unit would turn up before the police. And sadly, many people that can afford it rely more on their private security company with armed response rather than the police. So the first call is to the security company. Clearly that will need to change in time, but it's about resources. It's also about the command and control center that the JCF have, and how they handle 911 calls and how quickly they can respond. All of that is an ongoing process of modernization. At the moment, for example, all police vehicles do not have a GPS tracker on them in order that they can sit in the control center and actually see the closest unit to a particular incident and deploy from that point of view. So, yes, a lot needs to be done. So I agree with the person who contacted you, but I do believe that things will improve and that the time of response to emergency calls will improve, but at the moment it's not up to the standard it should be.
Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest will be the presenter of this year's CIN Lecture Series. He is Mark Shields, former Deputy Commissioner of Police out of Jamaica. And when he comes here on Wednesday, October 24th at the Schomburg Center, he will be taking on the big question, Jamaica crime monster. Can it be tame, ladies and gentlemen? And based on what Mr. Shields is saying, it can be tame. I will take a break and we will forward after the top of the hour. And I will go out in this segment with Barrington Levy. I am too experienced. Stay tuned for more with former Deputy Commissioner of Police, Mr. Mark Shields. We will be back in 4 minutes. This is Groovin' Radio. My name is Ras Clem.
She doesn't want me around. She's got something to hide. I think she wants a clown. want to take for a ride. But I keep telling her I'm too experienced to be taking for a stroll. Too experienced for someone